Well, it's not just the students that are creating high absentee rates in the city of Buffalo. Teachers have also been chronically absent. In fact, Buffalo is one of the worst in the country. What's happening when it comes to teacher absenteeism?
Well, you know, I think it's important to note this is an issue that kind of first came up during the contract negotiations with the Buffalo Teachers Association. As you noted, obviously you hear a lot about student absences and how it's detrimental to their learning when students aren't there. And there's this kind of, you know, not often talked about phenomenon of, well, what happens when you have kids who aren't there a whole lot, and then the days when they are there, they may not necessarily have their classroom teacher. You know, the issue being, first, there's a financial cost to hire a substitute to take their place, and then there's the consistency. There was actually just a national report that a lot of kids living in inner city districts spend most of their time in the classroom with a rotation of substitute teachers. So again, you know, kids that really benefit from that consistency aren't necessarily getting it. You know, it's also important to note that when the district talks about these numbers or some of the national reports that have been done, it's not the teachers are taking days beyond what they're entitled to in their contract. You know, this is what the district gave the BTF a long time ago. There was some discussion on this past go around about trying to lower those numbers. You know, the sick days are a big one. I don't take up my sick days. You know, a lot of people don't. If you're not sick, you don't take them. Some people do. They see that as a benefit and will take the days that they're given. You know, and that I think is kind of the crux of this issue is how much should they be entitled to when you look at how much is being taken.
And they get 12 sick days and 5 personal days.
Yep, okay. That's right.
What is happening, though, beyond that? Because that's a lot to fill if you have a certain amount of teachers each day at different schools calling in sick. And I guess, can you outline what schools have the most trouble spots?
Oh, really, a lot of them across the board. You know, the ones that are kind of easier to pinpoint are the ones that have the lower numbers. The two Olmsteads, City Honors was at the low end of the list. You know, we did look at, and we didn't get into it too much in the story because there wasn't a real direct correlation, but we did compare this to poverty rates because there's some research out there on a national level that that higher poverty schools tend to have higher teacher absences. What happens in Buffalo is so many of the schools are so high poverty. You know, I mentioned the two Olmsteads and the City Honors tend to be at the lower end. But beyond that, you know, there's an awful lot of schools that are clearing that 80-90% free and reduced lunch. So, you know, the range of teacher absences at those schools is pretty broad, you know, and in a lot of cases is what people would consider to be significant. You know, and kind of the same holds true with the academic performance is with the new state learning standards. Not many of the kids are proficient in reading and math. So, you know, you have such a high concentration of schools that post lower scores academically on the state tests and have such high poverty. It's very difficult to try to draw any conclusions about whether that is affecting the teacher absenteeism.
And you have teachers missing about 5 to 15 days in that average during the school season?
That was the big bubble, you know, and again, that this came up when the district identified this during the contract negotiations. You know, I think we talked about before, one of the ideas that was put on the table was to have an attendance initiative. Teachers who were there, you know, most days or only absent this many days could have been given, you know, a couple $1,000s. The union took issue with that, saying that, you know, it kind of unfairly penalized people who, obviously, there's a lot of reasons. In a given year, you might need more days. You know, maybe you have a sick relative, you have an illness, you go on maternity leave. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the counter argument to all this is, you know, the teachers, just like anyone else, have very good and legitimate reasons why they may not be able to go to school on certain days. And during the negotiations, this never really went anywhere. You know, with all the other things I think they had to resolve, this fell off the table.
So what is Superintendent Dr. Kreiner Cash trying to do about it? Can he zero in on it and work with Phil Remore from the Teachers Federation?
Well, Phil's not real happy at this moment. You know, and again, I just keep reiterating this. This came up during the contract negotiations. You know, Phil, I think, has already called on the district to try and come up with some more information on where they got these numbers, what they based it on. He has taken issue in the past with, you know, in past studies, the district has included teachers who were out of the classroom because of student meetings. You know, teachers who have a lot of special ed kids end up in a lot of IEP meetings. Sometimes you're called out of the classroom for training purposes. So, this issue does start to become far more complex on all sides, because Phil does have a point. If you want to train teachers in a new program or a new strategy or whatnot, you know, when do you do it? And the contract does make it very difficult right now for the district to do that outside of classroom time. So I think on both sides, you know, there probably should have to be some conversations about, you know, how do we adjust what's in the contract so that it works for teachers and it works for students.
I guess it's important to note, though, that districts still had the second highest percentage of teachers with excellent attendance, which is great, too.
Right. And, you know, I think, you know, it was interesting, some of the feedback you saw on social media and on the news website. You know, we did get a handful of teachers that I think, you know, feel like when this issue comes up, they're under siege. You know, and in the climate that we have in this country right now, I think they do. There's a lot coming at them. There were also some teachers on the other end who came in and said, I took one sick day in my 9 years working here. And I think, you know, it's like any other profession. If people are out, somebody else is picking up, you know, and doing the work when they're not there. So, yeah, you've got on both sides, you know, as far as this issue going forward, you know, Dr. Cash was pretty candid in saying that beyond those kind of overview numbers they threw out during the negotiations, the district doesn't have a really good handle on who these teachers are. I mean, we pulled the data from the federal government Office of Civil Rights. I had a sense the district had never looked at it holistically to see where all the schools fell. You know, so I think part of what their goal is to look more closely at those numbers. You know, are there trends at individual schools? Are there trends among groups of teachers? You know, is there some trends you can identify that may help you reach a conclusion, rather than looking at this again in this broad, you know, everybody's kind of in the same bucket, but different groups of teachers may have different needs. So I think that's going to be their next steps for them moving forward, is to really drill into this data and try to figure out where, you know, the greatest challenges may lie. And that might help them, you know, figure out a plan moving forward.
Well, Tiffany Link, it's always a pleasure to have you on Press Pass, and we will see you in the new year. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you and all your listeners.